Now I would like you to turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles. I suppose that you with me, when you read this glorious book of action, these great activities of the Holy Ghost in the early church, of course, but especially in the apostles that were the foundation of the church, that we're told quite clearly built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. Acts of the Apostles we're reading. We find that this early church, and especially the Acts, seem to know something. Perhaps you would agree with me that they knew the way. Would you think that they knew the way? And when I remind you that I want to talk about the way tonight, that it was Jesus who said, "I am the way," then I think it means that they knew Jesus. And because lots of people don't know the way, it's pretty obvious they don't know Jesus. And the way in which I want to bring it to you from this precious Acts of the Apostles. And if you don't know the way like this, then somewhere your knowledge of Jesus is missing. Because he's the way.
Amen.
We'll all agree that. Our blessed God is so versatile, so universal, so many faceted, that you can speak of things in the neuter, impersonal things, and he's all that. You talk about rock, well, he's that. You talk about water, he's that. You talk about bread, he's that. You see, talk about a door, he's that. You see? Talk about a way, he's that. Amen. He's God. And this is the tremendous thing that the scripture shows when it uses a phrase such as God is all in all. That's precisely the truth. He is. And there is nothing else. That's it. And once the heart sees this and knows it, it drops all its excuses, all its temporizings, all its playing around in its own little bits and pieces. Amen. And know that God, even in his greatness, in the end swallowed up sin as well. And he was made that, and how about that on the cross? He was made sin. What a tremendousness when we come to see it. This greatness of God. Oh, tonight we may get a lofty vision of Christ. And in these scriptures then together, I want to start with you. Well, we can start in many places, but let's pick it up, shall we, in the ninth chapter. In the great ninth chapter. You remember it's the chapter about Saul's conversion. Now, by the time Saul comes into the picture, the early church had been going quite a while. You will remember that Saul was a contemporary of Jesus Christ. He says himself that he had known Jesus Christ after the flesh. That's what he said. He had quite possibly seen something of Jesus in Palestine. He could even perhaps have been at the trial, I don't know. He was certainly one of the great high ups and a member of the Sanhedrin, I think, don't you? As you read the scripture. And he had known Jesus Christ after the flesh. You see? He'd been there all the time. Glory. And he says this. that in verse 1 he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. You see, you can't really do much against the disciples of the Lord. You try to get hold of them somewhere to do something. Well, you read the preceding chapter. How about if he tried to get hold of Philip? When it says in the end of the 39th, in the 39th verse of the 8th chapter, the Spirit of the Lord called him away. He's out in the desert 1 minute, sitting in a chariot the next, baptizing somebody the next, and the next minute he's not there. Well, how can you deal with these people? What can you do? I mean, there it is. When God is moving to establish something, beloved, nobody can get in his way, and nobody can get their finger on it either. When God is moving, amen. And he's breathing out threatening and slaughter. Fancy if he'd gone out in the desert like a dragon, breathing out clouds of smoke for Philip. And then Philip wasn't there. There you are. Mind you, there was a man named Stephen. He was there. He got stoned. God's got wonderful ways. You see, and it was Stephen that was the last link, really, in God stabbing this man to the heart. Because he was ready to die for the Lord. Philip was ready to be transported by the Lord. It doesn't matter which way you're transported, through the air and allowed to come down on earth again, or through the air and finish in heaven. Shouldn't make any difference to you, Stephen or Philip. Whichever it is that God chooses. But let's have a look at poor hopeless Saul. He's fighting a losing battle. Who was it praying a little earlier about the devil can't do anything about it and we're all... That's right, neither can he, not really. The biggest fool that ever was, the devil. Amen. He likes everybody to think he's very clever. Amen. He's worse than Esau, and Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. Eve threw away her glory for an apple, for a fruit, and Adam, he threw it away for love of Eve. And there's your trouble. What fools people are. Because they go the devil's way, they become fools like him. And you see, here's this man. He goes to the high priest in verse 1. He desires of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he, if he found any of the way, that's the exact Greek, not this way. It's said this way because it's the Holy Ghost talking about it, seeing it's this way, you see. But it's really the way. He was looking for people of the way. Amen. What way? Well, it might be Stephen's way or Philip's way, as long as it's God's way. But this is really what he's talking about, that by the time Saul is moving against the church, there was already an established way, known as the way. Amen. Now, there are no alternative ways. And this is the thing that you and I have to understand tonight, as we're here together and we've got the sacred word in our hand, and the word of God shall witness to it. This truth. There is only one way. Amen. And they all knew it. By that time it was called the way. What a name for the disciples of the church. People of the way. Amen. Glory. People of the way. They may call us wayfaring men and fools, but we can't go wrong. Not if we're on the way. In the way. Amen. Not in somebody else's way. But in the way. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And he was looking for these people who were people of the way. Whether they were men or women, are you a man of the way or a woman of the way? We'll see before we're through. It's a nice thought when you approach it, but we're going to examine the scripture Will you take the scripture as an answer? Will you believe what the scripture sets forth? And will you act when you see and when you know whether you're really in this way, as it was in the early church, well defined, written in through the pen of Luke by the Holy Ghost as the way? And if you're not in it as you should be, will you get in tonight? This is the thing. This is the purpose of our coming together. It isn't to have a pleasant weekend together or a nice Sunday night. It is that God may do his business in our hearts. And if we've got hearts that want it, then, beloved, there's no reason why any one of us should not be in all this glorious thing, shall I say, of God, known as the way. And you know, this was written from heaven. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost came down in old Luke and made him write, "This is the way." Amen. I could quote the familiar text and say, "Walk ye in it." But at the moment, it's here, the way. He journeys. He comes to Damascus. You know what happens. As a matter of fact, in all this glorious story, not that I want to dwell merely or just simply or only or even lengthily on the conversion of Paul, but as the story unfolds, we find Ananias in verse 17, and he's going in and he says, "Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest." Now, there are two men mentioned in this verse. One was in the way. The way had become his way. Amen. But there was another man, and his name was Saul, and he was in his own way. He was in the great Damascus way. He was going down, and he, you know what he was after, but he was breathing out threatenings and slaughters, and sure as you do that, you're in your own way. He was moving against the revealed truth, the right way of God. He was so incensed about this at a later date. You remember that in the 13th chapter, he meets a man, this same Paul, Saul, when he has become Paul. And in this great 13th chapter, you will know that Saul, verse 9, who's also called Paul, here we get the great revelation, the connotation of the two names in the one verse. You won't get it anywhere else in the Bible. This man, Paul, you see, was filled with the Holy Ghost. He couldn't have been filled with the Holy Ghost unless he was Paul. All the time he'd remained Saul, he would never have been filled with the Spirit. That's right. He was so changed. Glory. He was a filled man. And he sets his eyes on Elymas the sorcerer, verse 8, and he says, "Oh, full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Amen. Now, he knew he was on his own ground when he called this man all that, because he was that himself. He knew. He'd been that himself. He was trying to turn aside the right ways of God in dealing with people. This Elymas, the sorcerer, he was working with a spirit of divination in him. He was possessed by the devil. And he was working against the ways of God. And Saul had been there himself. And he knew perfectly well what was going on in that man's heart. But let's just catch up our thoughts where we were in the 9th chapter. There, beloved, we were seeing one man in the way. This Ananias was a man of the way. I don't know whether you'd like to be in that way. Well, what a way it was. Glory. He was just there. God said to him, Ananias. He says, here I am, Lord. What a glorious, what a glorious relationship. Ananias. God, Jesus only had said, Ananias. He says, here I am, Lord. But you see, when Jesus had said, Saul, Saul had said, who art thou? That's right. You see? What a difference between the ways. Jesus had said, Saul, Saul. He had to call him twice. He only had to say, Ananias. He said, here I am, Lord. There's a man in the way. Are you there? You in this way? And Ananias went his way. And his way was God's way. And Saul's way was the devil's way. And Ananias went his way. Just in the way. Wasn't it a lovely way? Went and put his hands on a brother Saul, he said. This man had going to be putting a knife in his shoulders. This Saul had. This man had, Saul was going to have him stoned like Stephen if he could. Saul was going to have him killed. He went to him and said, brother Saul. That was Jesus, wasn't it? That's the way Jesus washed a man's feet that was going to betray him, wasn't it? That's Jesus, isn't it? I'm the way, he said. You like that? He went his way, put his hands on him and said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to thee in the way, as thou camest. He came along that way, in his own way, that Jesus met him. There was an appointed hour, and Jesus met him, and he changed Saul's way to Jesus' way. Like that. Had to knock him down into the dust first, had to show him where he belonged. Listen, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. He was the devil personified as a man. He was doing the devil's work. Very religious too. Read his Bible every day. Said his prayers every day. Was called to into sort of give answers and decisions and judgments on spiritual matters and seeing the serpent. So God put him down there where he belonged. Jesus didn't knock him over to be spiteful. He knocked him over there to show him where he was. Moreover, he made him blind too, to show him where he was further still. He was not only a deaf adder, he was a blind slave. And everybody, beloved, who is like that, you've got to be awakened by the voice of Jesus. See? Saul! His deafness ended. But he didn't know who called him. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He says, you go down there, I'm going to send someone to you. He didn't tell him that. He's going to tell you what to do. And old Ananias went there to him. Brother Saul, Jesus sent it to you. It might have your sight back. Be filled with the Spirit. Wasn't that wonderful? Now listen, you haven't got into God's way if you haven't come something like that. You're not there. Something like that. Now I didn't say identically like that. But let's move on, shall we? In the 14th chapter. In this great 14th chapter, we read again. God, towards the end of the 15th verse, the living God, towards the end of the 15th verse, made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, and in time past he suffered all nations to walk in their own way. He suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. But listen, he had to suffer to do it. He suffered them to do it. It wasn't his perfect will. for them. He didn't order it and command it. He suffered it. It was an insult to his majesty. It was dead against his will. It was anti-Christ and anti-God, but he suffered it. Hallelujah. Now, this is told, and let's get our eyes right down on this precious book. Hallelujah. This is recorded and told to us by the Spirit, following on this wonderful incident. Here it is, verse 8. There was a man sitting at Lystra. He was impotent in his feet. He'd been a cripple from his mother's womb. He never had walked. Wasn't it wonderful? When he did start, I hope he got walking in the right way. I don't know. But he never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. And steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Amen. Glory. Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And that was God's introduction to Lystra, to show himself a wonderful God. And this was the way. It was a demonstration to them of the love and grace and power of God, that if people haven't firstly got an ear to hear about the cross, then they've got a mind that can take in power that heals. That's right. All right? That's right. This is the way of God. Amen. They were heathen. They were ignorant. They hadn't been brought up in Jewish traditions. They never knew about the true blood offerings. They never knew anywhere about the cross. And so God moved, having suffered people to go on in their own ways, because as yet the gospel wasn't ready to be preached unto the world. The gospel wasn't ready to be preached until Jesus had come and died and shed his blood and gone back to heaven and sent forth the Holy Ghost. Then it was ready to be preached. Hallelujah. It was right for the nations. It's a gospel of power and of blood and of resurrection and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What a tremendous thing. And here comes this man, Saul, out of the way, Paul in the way, glory, and he goes to Lystra, and there's a man, glory to God, and he sees that the man has faith to be healed. It'd be a good job if we had a lot of this kind of discernment today, wouldn't it? We all talk about discerning spirits. How about people who can discern faith? He saw that he had faith to be healed. Glory. And he said, stand on your feet. Hallelujah. A man that's got faith in his heart only needs a word from God. This is the way. Aren't we learning a lot? This is the way. A man that has faith in his heart only needs a word from God and he'll do it. Say, ah, yeah, but you can't do it if you've never walked. Well, he just says you can. That's just it, you see. He did it. He had faith. Get up, he said. Glory. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? You see, it's true that God does allow people to go on in their own ways. But, beloved, isn't it a wonderful thing that there come occasions in the lives of men and women when God comes in, and at that time He offers you the opportunity to come into the way, the only way that's known as the way in heaven, the Jesus way, the Christ way, the gospel way. the living way. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God is expecting them, and this is what he's moving to. And we come into the 16th chapter. And in the great 16th chapter, we'll see it again. You know it's a wonderful story, don't you? You see what this way is, and in the 16th verse, they were going to prayer. And a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which bought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and tried some soothsaying. Here it was, and she tried to say something nice and soothing in line with the religious idea. Here it is. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. She said one soothing thing too many, and her masters lost everything. Hallelujah. The devil was talking. Amen. And Paul turned on him. She did it again and again, a turn on her, and he cast the devil out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen, all I want to tell you is this, that the devils know the true way. But you see, God won't have testimony from them. Jesus never did when he was on the earth. He's the way. He shows us what to do. He wouldn't have testimony from demons. They'd come out. Glory. See? But it's the way of salvation, and the only way of salvation. And Paul was in it. He was of it. I want to tell you, you're not in it unless you're of it. If you're not of it, you can't be in it. For it isn't a sort of a path that you walk in. It's a person that you live in. Amen. He's called the way. And the way lives in you. This blessed person. This is how God makes sure that only the right people are in it. Glory. Lots of people called fellow travellers. But that's not the point. The point is, a man can be your bedfellow or your fellow traveller. It doesn't mean to say he's in the way. And this is the tragedy of it. It's going to be like that when Jesus comes back. He says there's going to be two people in one bed. One's going to be taken, the other's left. One's in the way, the other's out. That's what he said. Two women are going to be grinding at the mill. One's in the way, the other's out. They're only sitting opposite each other across a bit of stone. They might have done it for weeks. They just turn the stone like that to grind the corn, and one's going to be taken, the other one's left. They might have prayed together. They might have talked together. They might have sung together. They might have wept together. But one was in the way and the other one wasn't. And that's the answer to it, beloved. And this is that which the Lord wants us to see. And the devil knows the right way. Don't you understand it? That's why he was in that Elymas, the sorcerer. He was trying to pervert the right way. He was trying to turn this man from the right way. And the devil is subtly seeking to turn people off the one and true and only way. He doesn't mind how he does it. Whether or not he possesses somebody as a spirit of Python, for it was a serpent spirit that indwelt this girl. Your margin, if you have a book Bible, should give you this emendation. It's the truth. Or whatever it be. Praise the name of the Lord. But he seeks to turn people off the way, the true way. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So he was the true way, and the true life, and the true vine, and the true light. That's him. And beloved, we here have got to search our hearts before we're through to know whether we're in his way or whether we're not. Because we're taking a progressive look through the scripture, keeping strictly to the written word, so that we shall all know and can't miss our way, even in this. And we go on again. And this time, we come to the 18th chapter. And in the 18th chapter, we read this. Verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, glad my name's not Apollos, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Now listen, up to his knowledge, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now Apollos could perfectly expound the way of God up until John. He could tell them all about the revelation of the one true God, the call of Abraham. He could preach mighty sermons on faith from Abraham, wonderful sermons about King David and the building of the temple and the blood. He could preach on the blood. Amen. Right up until John, that burning and shining light that rose across the horizon of dark and dreary, came and said, come here and be baptized, repent for your sins. Come here and you can be forgiven and God will forgive you. There you are. He preached forgiveness of sins perfectly. You see, and people believed it, and they thought they were in the way. But there are a couple of little old people called Aquila and Priscilla. They weren't apostles, they were just pals of Paul's, just friends of Paul's. Mm. They were sitting in the synagogue that day, and they heard him. They said, isn't it a shame? True enough, what he says, as far as it goes, let's tell him. This isn't the way, really. This isn't the way. What? Not getting your sins forgiven? Going to heaven when you die? Surely that's the way. No. All the Jews had that. That's not the way. Well, as far as it goes, you see, and they took him and they expounded unto him the way. expounded the Bible. No, the way. The Bible's not the way. It wasn't written anywhere in the New Testament. How could they do that? Wasn't written. Now you'd have been stumped, wouldn't you? Where would you have been without your Bible? But he hadn't got one. She hadn't got one. They knew the way. Glory. The Bible's been written about it. They knew it. They took him on one side. They told him the way. The more perfect way of God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. They took him and they fed him, I suppose, and slept him and talked to him. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. He's made all the others believe under law. He got a great big stick. Glory. He beat them on the head with it. He whipped them up. Oh, they believed. They believed. They believed. But when he went, my, what a change in the policy. It was great. Instead of driving them in, he called them in. Hallelujah. Oh, it was wonderful. Oh, he never used the Bible like a big bludgeon to knock people to hell if they weren't very careful. Amen. Not he. He uses a glorious love letter. Amen. To call the people in. He became a man of grace instead of a man of legality. And bondage. And this and that and the other. Oh, he helped them mightily. He could say to them, oh, so and so and so and so and so. No, I did help these people who've been baptized in the Spirit and gone on into the things of God a good bit by showing them how to walk in true repentance. Some of them still need it today. And how to move in this great way. Ever heard of that movement of God called Rwanda? That's one of the things they've added to the church. How to walk in a true, broken and contrite spirit of repentance before God. That's not the end of the story, but they made that contribution. Hallelujah. That's about what this man did. Hey, glory. He showed them all this. He'd labored long under this. Tears, brokenness, repentance. Come and get baptized here. Get your sins forgiven. No, God forgives your sins. He's good. Wonderful. And then, as I say, a little old couple, or perhaps they weren't so old, got hold of him, and they said, here, Paul, and so on and so on and so on. But anyway, you know, Paul comes in chapter 19. This is the point. Old Paul comes to this same place. He comes to Ephesus. He finds certain disciples. Verse 2. He said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Said Paul, said, well, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after. That is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Not just the forgiveness of God, but the kingdom of God. Amen. That is a place, a sphere, a realm where God is absolute king in a life. Hallelujah. Glory. And when divers were hardened in verse 9, and believed not, but spake evil of the way. Oh. They didn't mind the way of forgiveness. They didn't mind the way of repentance and baptism in water and forgiveness. They thought that was fine. But when Paul came in the way, amen, when he came in the way and he pointed them to the Lord Jesus, and they came into the name and under the name and power of the Lord Jesus, went so far beyond forgiveness. Amen. He put his hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. Glory. They began to speak with tongue and to start and prophesy. And Paul said, he got his nucleus now. He could start demonstrating. See what's happened to these 12 men. This can happen to you too. And they went and he preached this great domination, this moving into the kingdom of God where all these things operate so fully and so freely. And they didn't want that. Wanted to know they could go to heaven because their sins were forgiven. They didn't want the way. Who would have thought that was the way? To heaven, sort of thing. Yeah. It's all right as far as it goes. You might know a great deal about that. You might be a gospel preacher, so-called. But that's not the truth in all its fullness. These men rose up knowing that not only they got forgiveness, they got Jesus, they got the Holy Ghost, they got the gifts of the Spirit. They were in the kingdom. Glory! What a tremendous thing. But you see, people start to get hard hearts when this happens. This is right. I tell you, I've been talking to someone here today. See, I'm not even going to go to yesterday. Said some time ago, he was converted and then he got moved abroad. And in this place where he was abroad, he tried to find a fellowship. He'd only been saved a little while before he was whipped out there. And the people spoke with tongues and things like that. And he was neither for it nor against it. He'd just been moved. He just moved in that area, you see. So he went there. And when he got out there, oh, God. Oh, no, this tongue. No. Here, read this. Read that. There, that'll prove it's all wrong. Take this book. Take that book. See? That's right. And all the time they'll be out preaching the gospel, they say, at the street corner. It's terrible. This is what's happening. People don't want the way. They want heaven, though. They want to be sure they don't go to hell. They don't want to go that way. But they don't want the way. Do you? Wasn't Ananias in this way? Blessed be the name of the Lord that the first man, Jack, that Paul met when he rose off the floor virtually in the true way. It was a man that was in the way. He went and put his hand and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Have a miracle performed on you. Healing. Open your eyes. Glory. Hallelujah. He was in with a bang. Yeah. You see, Jesus, who art thou Lord? So he baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. He was moving in this tremendous realm. He wasn't a man who repeated formulae. He moved, he was in it. Glory. Glory. So were Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. There they were. They could hear it. Come and get forgiven, come and get forgiven. The blood's been shed. The water here, come and be baptized. It's righteous to be baptized in water. So and so and so and so and so and so. You've heard it. Gospel meeting, Sunday night after Sunday night. Is that right? I'm not mocking, beloved. I'm not mocking. You see? But that's not the way. And I want to tell you it's not the way. It's the way into the way. Praise God. You see? This is the tremendousness about it. And they were hardened, verse 9. Divers of them, different kinds of people, that means. All sections, strata of the society, shades of opinion and thought and belief. They were hardened. And they didn't believe, but they spoke evil of that way. And he departed from them. He left them. Glory. Praise God. And he separated the disciples. Said, come on, you don't want to listen to that blasphemous stuff. Oh, but we're talking about the blood. We're talking about getting baptized. We're talking about having your sins forgiven. Leave that lot, he says. Come on. Am I right or wrong? The Bible, you've got the same Bible that I have. I reckon that if Paul walked into the churches throughout the length and breadth of this land or any place, he'd separate the disciples. Mm. None of this ecumenicity. Let's get together. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Come on, he says. There you are. See? And they went into the school of Tyrannus and for 2 years, and God was so pleased with what this man did who moved in the way, listen, that he actually wrought special miracles, verse 11, by this man. Did he do right or wrong? there are those that are trumpeting about saying if the early apostles was here, they'd all lead us all together. They didn't read this chapter then. Did they? God was so pleased with him, he was in the way, you see. He actually wrought special miracles by him. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And then some of the vagabond Jews, you mustn't discredit all of them, but these were vagabonds, you understand, that the Spirit of God's very fair. These were vagabond Jews. They were exorcists. They took upon them that had evil spirits to call over them the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. You see? And seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, tried this business. Their father was a chief priest, but he had some vagabond sons. That's right. It's all here. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And I want to tell you this, that everybody that's in the way is corroded. Jesus and John, if your name's John, Jesus and Mary, Jesus and Peter, and Jesus and... I won't go on other names, there's somebody think I'm calling their names out. That's it. And if that isn't so, you're not in the way. Glory! You can only be in the way by being joined to Jesus. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, let's read it in the Bible. It's best to read it in the Bible. We're absolutely sure if we can read it in the Bible, aren't we? This is the Acts of the Apostles. We'll go back. We're looking in chapter 5. We'll have the truth tonight if we've never had the truth before in our lives. It's what the book's here for. And in the 5th chapter, this is what it says. By the hands of the apostles, verse 12, were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, chapter 5, verse 13. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord. There it is. You want to be added to the Lord, joined to the Lord. It's got to be Jesus and you. Or else you're not in the way. But Jesus is the way. Didn't your beliefs? And if you're moving in this, beloved, the devils know you're in it. Glory. And God knows you're in it. And you know you're in it. Hallelujah. And if you don't, then you're not in it. I'll ask you a question. Have you got any reason why you're not in the way? Have you got any reason to get hard and bitter and unbelieving about it? This is the way. People get forgiven. People get baptized in the Spirit. That's much more important than getting baptized in water. And they speak with other tongues and prophesy. And devils go out of people. And people get healed. And God performs miracles. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with the way then? Seems to be the right way. Seems to be the royal way. Seems to be it's common sense. Don't you think people ought to get healed and freed of the devil's power then? What's wrong? Oh, speaking in tongues. Ah, yeah, that's it. Be all right if you didn't speak in tongues. Glory. First thing he says, they spoke in tongues. That's the first thing it says. Prophesy. Well, I'm only reading the Bible. I mean, you mustn't change it around. It says, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Isn't that? Verse 6, chapter 19. That's the first thing it says. Why should it say that it's not important, is it? But there it is. It's funny how God gets down to detail. Things that people don't think are important. Because he wants to tell us the truth, beloved. He wants your heart to understand the truth. This is the way. This is the way. You say, well, speaking in tongues. Oh, no. No. No, God forbid. It's far, far greater. Much more glorious and important than that. But it's part of it. Amen. Let's go on, shall we? Oh, this is a... If when you've got your Bible in your hand and you're moving in the way of truth, beloved, you can't go wrong, can you? Let's have a look in the same 19th chapter. And it says this, that as you go down there, it says, many also, verse 19, look, they used the curious arts, they brought the books together, burned them before all men. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. There was a real purging went on in Ephesus. Go down. And in verse 23, look what it says. At the same time, there arose no small stir about the way. Oh, glory. It got everybody stirred up. Everybody was talking about it. What do you think? People didn't know. Devils going out, speaking in other tongues, prophesying. Oh, it's... What's happened? This is the way.
Glory.
The way has come.
Yeah.
I want to know whether you're in it. God wants to know whether you're in it. I'm not asked interested whether you believe in the way. I'm only interested to know whether you're in it and it's in you. If not, you're deceived. May be prejudiced and hardened and unbelieving and got no real grounds for it, other friend. And either. This is the tremendous truth. No small stir about that way. I should think so too. That's how Paul was. He got ever so worked up about it, breathing out, threatening and snorters. He was going to do this, that and the other. Wherever the truth is, it always happens this way. But it will stir up trouble. That's right. When this really comes, people get stirred up about this. Oh, it's tremendous. Yes, glory. Lots of people that get stirred up and incensed against it, they've got devils in them, religious ones. That's the truth. Lots of them. I didn't say all of them now. I said lots. But glory, they can come out, friend. They can come out. We're moving in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about what God is and God is doing. We're talking about what the Holy Ghost is moving to in people's lives. This is the great revelation of the truth. Let's go on into the 22nd chapter. In the 22nd chapter, here's the same glorious and wonderful truth. In the 22nd chapter, we may read this. This time, Paul is on trial. Listen to them speaking. Men, brethren, and fathers. Amen. All right, look at me. That's right. I'm not going out. You just look at me. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. When they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. Look at me. I shan't get shaky. Other people might do. All right. Yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death. Persecuting this way, and in order to persecute that way, what did he have to do? Bind men and women. Because the way is men and women. The way is in men and women. See? Glory. Binding men and women, persecuting them unto the death. And he goes on to tell the dreadful story of his own serpentine heart until God changed it. What a tremendous thing. Yes, beloved, you see, that's what it is. It's in flesh and blood. I'm asking you whether it's in you. What is in you? So, well, I believe in Jesus. How far? Have you been really baptized in his name? And into his name? Meaning to say that you'd been dead and buried and you're just given up to Jesus and Jesus' life, he's the way. Have you? Is it a kingdom of God you're moving in? Or is it a sort of a fairy tale story? Like Jack and the Beanstalk. What is it you've got? This is it. Hallelujah. Paulie, I don't suppose he ever could forgive himself for the way he'd acted. Fancy persecuting this way. When he did this, listen, so identified were these people with Jesus that when he did this to men and women, Jesus said, "You're persecuting me, Saul. It's me you're persecuting." There you are. They were one. This is the way. Glory. Identical. Have you got this identical life? Amen. Really got it. Glory. Now there's only one thing to do with this life. If you don't want it and don't have it and want to stamp it out, you've got to kill men. Because they had to kill Jesus trying to get rid of it. You've got to kill them. You see, didn't say, "Oh, I don't believe that doctrine, I don't believe the other." Now, it's as sure as men get up and say, "Oh, I don't believe all this business about speaking in tongues." See, all this business. But God will raise up some man that will do it. You see, that's the trouble. It's always in a man. It isn't in a book. Whoever wrote it. See, tell you about it. That's it with God, you see. They do this, they do the other, they do something else. We see, I know now, I was brought up in that background, you see. Oh, no, not all this business, you know. The blood and forgiveness and baptism, I was dipped in water. I had all sorts of things, you see. But boy, when I began to get talking like that, I go, you see, and I believe the same, you see. And then all of a sudden I find myself doing it. And that's the end of it. What are you going to do? Kill him. That's the only way. You can't do anything about it, can you? Persecute him. Get him out of the way. Got to do something. Praise God, you see, that also causes a stir. I tell you, it caused a stir when God visited me. That's a fact, it did. I don't think I'm anybody special, but it did. This is what God means. Of course he means you to get persecuted in your home or at work if you go back and get really in the way. Of course he does. It's all part of it. Isn't it good? There's a place for that in hell. That squealing, wretched spirit. It doesn't matter to you whether God in this way treats you like a Philip or a Stephen. Both in the way. Amen. This is the tremendousness of it. You've got to have everything. The way is the way. That's the truth. You're not here to sort it out. Pick and choose the bits you want. You're here to submit and have all that God gives. That's what you're here for. Praise God. Amen. Perhaps it's about time some of us started moving. Let's go on into the 24th chapter and perhaps we'll make this our last reference. And in the 24th chapter we read... Well, Paul's testifying again in the 24th chapter. And he says this, he's talking in verse 10, and in the end he says he's more cheerfully answering for himself. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. I'm in chapter 24 and verse 12. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this one thing I've come to make a confession. I've arrived at the point I want to make a confession. This one thing I confess to you, that after the way that they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. That's right. Now people may call this way heresy. I once had a book. And it was a book written by a man that's very acceptable in many, many circles in our evangelical land and churches. And it was called Modern Heresies Exposed, and one of them was a tirade against the tongues position. That's right. Heresy. Yeah. Now I want to tell you that that's the man that's in heresy and error. I don't know whether he is now, and I'm not trying to be critical, but I want you to see, beloved, what Paul said, and he'd come and stand with us, beloved. He would be on our side. He would be, glory. He'd stand with us, he'd say, put you people up on the stand. So, after the way that they call heresy, I confess this to you. That's the way I worship God. And I want to tell you there's no other.
Glory.
So you want to be a worshipper? Glory. Why, the basis of everything, especially where speaking in tongues is concerned, is worship. That's why you're given it.
Yeah.
Its first and most glorious use in your mouth is worship, in absolute adoration and love beyond ken. For the mind to grasp, for the human tongue, mother tongue to speak. That's right. Sheerest adulation and adoration and glorification of Jesus. That's worship. What is it? I've heard it mentioned once or twice. Extravagant love. This is the tremendous thing. It's an enabling to give you an extravagance unto God. It's an enabling to pour out beyond the limitations of your own understanding. Oh, glory. It's an equipment in God. It's a glory in the Spirit. It carries you far out beyond that which your mind apprehends. It's the Spirit laying hold and entering in. It's not just a sign that you've been baptized. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heresy, they say. The way that they call heresy. Thank God I'm in it. Thank God Paul was in it. Thank God all the early church were in it. Amen. This is the way. Amen. Walk ye in it. Come on, it doesn't matter if you've been lame from your mother's womb. Get up. Perhaps your mother and your father crippled you. I don't know. Many young people are crippled by their own parents, because their own parents have only gone as far as evangelical believing. And they put the brake on their young people instead of letting them get up and walk in this way with God. Amen. This is the way. I tell you, it's the way. I've come all the other way, and I know. Amen. Praise Him. I believed all the correct things, preached all the correct kinds of sermons. Amen. And then God came one day. Oh, hallelujah. To be in this great way with God. Amen. It is the way, beloved. this way that people are calling heresy, or whatever it wants. But you know, here's the great test of it. He believes all the things that all the other people believe, and more or less the trouble, you see. So Paul said, I believe all that you other people believe. That's virtually what he's saying. You read it through that same chapter. Don't read it now. You'll find he said, I believe what all the rest of them believe. But he said, glory, amen. God met me one day. God met me. You've got to be met by God for this. He was always giving it. He says, I believe all that. But God met me. Amen. Glory. And he did this for me. He did this. Brought me into this great and tremendous life. I want to know whether you're in it, beloved. I want to know whether you're in the way. And I'm not just concerned whether you can speak a few tinny old sentences in a thing called a tongue. That's not what I'm concerned about. I want to know whether devils equate you with Jesus. That's what I want to know. I want to know whether you're joined with Jesus. I want to know whether you move in this way, whether you've been laid in the dust of death and raised up into a newness of life. I want to know this. These are the things. And if you have, these are the very first steps, beloved, to move out into this great realm of God. I'm not saying that perhaps you don't know the way of the Lord and can expound the Bible like a Gamaliel or an Apollos. That's not the thing. I want to know, how far is your heart believing? How far have you gone? Are you in this great truth? Have you even got the love of an Ananias, leave alone aspiring to be a Paul? Could you say, well, Lord, this man, we've all heard of him, he hates us, he hates us, he hates us, he's come to kill us all. And you're going to say, brother Paul, can you haven't been made of the right substance yet. Go back to God. You've come up a cheat. People must be loved.
Amen.
That's right. If you aren't made of love, you've never been made of God.
Yeah.
For all your believing. Amen. Brother Paul, Jesus appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest. Glory. He sent me, appeared to me in the way I'm living. Hallelujah. This is how we live. Adonai. Go over there. Go and do this. Go and do that. I want to do a miracle here. I want to give someone this sign. I want someone to be filled with the Holy Ghost there. Oh, praise God. This is the way. This is the way. He said, well, I thought you had to be an apostle for that. And I wasn't an apostle. Or Priscilla and Quilla. Let's have a look at these two. There they are. Just sitting there. There's what I said. That's not right of Quilla, is it? No, Priscilla. Send for Paul. No, we'll do it ourselves. Apollos, come home and have lunch with us. And they told that mighty Bible expositor where he was wrong. Do you know that there are lots of people who are wrong in that they only go so far. And in going so far, they're wrong.
Yes.
They give the impression that this is all the way, and they stumble people.
Yeah,
and people that would go on in the way, they put the stumbling blocks in the way. They themselves are the stumbling blocks. Because Apollos is stuck there, 12 good men were stuck there too. Paul came along and found them. That's right. What a tragedy. Isn't it true, beloved, that the church today is stuck? Isn't it true that we're needing God to move in a great new way? You say, well, send us some Pauls, Lord. Perhaps old Paul saying, send us some Ananiases and some Priscillas and Aquilas, Father. Perhaps he is. That's right. Who are the chaps called apostles? How about all the rest of the church members then? Every one of you in this room should be able to do this. You should be so in the way. Amen. Thank God that Apollos, for all his almightiness and fervent spirit, was prepared to listen to two people, two pals of Paul's. Thank God he was. Amen. That's grace. He showed it, and then he could help other people in this great way of grace. Now, beloved, how far have you got? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you? Have you ever moved into this realm? Have you? When people began to move in this realm, God granted some special miracles. It always happens. You get a group moving in this realm, God will grant some miracles to be done. He always signs it off with miracles. That's right. They tend to lapse after a while, but never mind. He starts them off with it. Because these things are his signature. It's of me. Glory. It's of me. Amen. Ah, isn't it wonderful? Aren't you prepared to burn all your books? Oh, but mine are very good books. Theological. In mine there isn't some kind of a magic in them that draws you away from this great truth. The way. The early church knew it. The enemies knew it. Everybody knew it. Listen, there was only one kind of Christian in the early church, and that was a spirit-baptized Christian. And nobody else was. In the early church, there wasn't anybody in the early church except they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's a staggering thought when you read it. And what if this was the criterion among us today? But it is still the criterion.
Amen.
It is. God save us from the myth of everything else. This believing so far business. When you believe, you must not have an horizon. You must not have a stopping place when you believe. You must believe utterly. God, you may believe for specific things. Praise God. And you can get specific things if you've got faith to receive them. And the eyes of the Holy Ghost looking through a man can see whether you have. Oftentimes looking without a man because he can't get the right kind of men in the 20th century often. But you can receive them and you can go on in this great and glorious way of God. Now I don't know how far you've come. I don't know what things you're claiming. I don't know whether you would say you were in the way. If this be the way, and I submit to you that it is in your Bible. I thought Jesus was the way. Yes, he proved to be this kind of way when he went back to heaven. That's right. That's right. Wonderful. Glory. Let's move in. Let's pray.